offering, but you can give through our church webpage. There's a way to give through PayPal or an address to send checks. And we encourage you to give for your spiritual welfare, and also to support the ministries of the church that are ongoing. Think of our missionaries and some things like that. But I tell you, this is so different this morning. I'm preaching to three people here, and I miss you already. And perhaps that's because I know that we are apart for a time. But you know, we have been preparing for this for a long time. Last summer, we preached on the Holy Spirit, and we talked about how the Holy Spirit wants to indwell us. And I don't believe that it was God's intention to ever have one single place of worship, but God wanted mobile temples. And as John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, that the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. And we get to carry His invisible presence and make that visible through our lives. We have talked about how the New Testament emphasis is not on holy places, but it's on holy people. And we become holy people through a relationship with a holy person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems like overnight we were the church ecclesia, we were the church called out, and now we are the church dispersed. And I just want to encourage you to be the church wherever you are in life, and God will bring people to you, and you can present Him to them. And we have been saying again that most ministry takes place not in here, but outside of these walls, and we really get a chance to prove that is true. Today, I would like to bring a word to you about the storm after the calm. I have preached on this story probably more than any other in the Bible, other than the resurrection and the nativity and things like that that occur on a regular basis. But I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, and beginning with verse 35. That same day when the evening came, he said to them, that is, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." When they had sent the crowd away, they took him in the boat just as he was. There were also other little boats with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves splashed into the boat so that it was now filling the boat. He was in the stern asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" They feared greatly and said to one another, "What kind of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And may the Lord add a blessing to his word this morning. There's a story that comes from a naval academy in England. On a particular day, a British admiral visited the depot, and he began to bark out orders and questions to the students to determine the preparedness for commanding the rigors of the sea. He cornered one student, and the admiral asked the student, "What would you do if a storm blew up?" The student snapped back, "I'd lower the anchor, sir." "What would you do if the anchor broke away and another storm blew up?" Without skipping a beat, he said, "I would lower another anchor, sir." Pressing his case, the admiral said, "What would you do if that anchor broke loose and a third storm blew up?" Sticking to his guns, the student said, "Well, I'd lower another anchor, sir." More than a little frustrated, this commanding officer said to the young man, "And where are you getting all of these anchors?" And the student replied, "The same place you are getting all the storms, sir." And I just feel like there's one storm after another. We're told that we had to have less than 250. Or we couldn't meet, and that was no problem for us. And then they said, "Well, you can't have less than 50 people at one gathering." And so we were making plans to go to two services. But even before we could do that, we were told that we could only have less than 10. One storm after another. We certainly are facing the storm with this worldwide virus that is attacking so many. Many people that think that, like that admiral was making up storms, that this is a made-up storm, that everything is exaggerated. I don't know how you feel about that, but the point is not really whether that is true or not. The point is, it is here, and we have to deal with it. We are facing a storm, we are in a storm, and we have to deal with it. And the point that Admiral made was very true. Every naval officer needs to know how to navigate his way through a raging sea. What is true in the life of a Navy person is also true for us. We need to know how to deal with the storms and the squalls in our life. It's a fact that we all face troubled waters. The storms of life are inevitable, and they are here. Whether we like it or not, they are here. And so the question is, how do we handle this storm? How do we handle the storms of life? Because there are some of you that are facing more than one storm. And this storm perhaps will create other storms in your life. We're worried about health. We become worried about finances. How are we going to live? How are we going to pay our bills? And so I want us to be able to have confidence that we can chart our course through these storms that we are enduring. And so let's look at this passage this morning. And first of all, we see the calm before the storm. The calm before the storm. This is the first of four miracles in Mark's chapters 4 through 5 that Jesus will perform. It reveals the power and majesty and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And here we see that Jesus is Lord of the disasters. In chapter 5, he is Lord of the demons as he casts a demon out of someone. And then we see that he is Lord of disease. He's Lord over the coronavirus. Amen. He healed many who were sick. And finally, we see that Jesus is Lord even of death. He brings to life a young girl that has died. I think what we see is an escalation in the miracles. And all of these involves or surrounds this idea of death. Because in our passage this morning, the disciples are near death. They are fearing death. Lord, don't you care? We are perishing. We are going to die in this storm. And death is the thing that most people fear the most. They fear death through this virus. And the man who Jesus delivered the demons from was living among the tombs. He was living among the dead. And finally, the young girl he healed was actually dead. He brought her back to life. There's this heightened revelation of the power of Jesus. But it begins with Jesus showing his power over disasters or his power over the deep. And he shows his power over disease, and then finally raising someone from the dead. So the key lesson right from the onset is that Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life. You can trust Jesus in the storms that you are going through. The disciples, they failed to trust in what Jesus said. They had a promise, but they failed to trust in the promise or the person of Jesus. I love the line in Pilgrim's Progress where evangelist tells Pilgrim, never doubt in the dark what God has showed you in the light. We're going through a dark time, but don't discount the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to put your faith and your trust in him. Now it says they took Jesus in verse 36 as he was. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. That means that he didn't take any provisions with him. What he had on him, he just took, and he got in the boat. And some people are worried because they think we're going to run out of provisions. We're going to run out of toilet paper. You know, we're going to run out of necessities until this pandemic is over. Don't worry. Jesus didn't take any provisions with him, and he shows us that he will take care of us. If we put him first in our life, He will meet the needs that we have. Our God is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who is our provider. And you notice at the end of verse 36, there's a little add-on. It says that other boats were with them. We know that Mark is really Peter's gospel. Peter told Mark all of these things that were happening. And I think Peter had Mark add this in just to say, you know, there were other witnesses to this event. And it gives credence to what he was writing and saying was true. This is the calm before the storm. A few weeks ago, everything was going along as we expected things to go. We were living life. If you would have told me 3 weeks ago we would be in this situation that we are in today, I would not have believed you. I'm told that storms come up very quickly on the Sea of Galilee. And now we're wondering, what's next? What could possibly come next? We had the calm before the storm. Everything in life was going along as expected. But then bars and restaurants closed and self-serving counters closed. And you know all that stuff as well as I do. And we wonder, how long is this going to last? There was a note found one time in a coat store in Nottingham, England, and it said, "We have been established for over 100 years, and we have been pleasing and displeasing customers ever since. We've made money and lost money. We've suffered the effects of coal rationing and government control. We've been cussed and discussed, lied to, robbed, and swindled. The only reason we stay in business is to see what happens next." And I kind of feel like that's the way life is right now. We are wondering what is going to happen next. In verses 37 and 38, we come to the second part of the message here, the calm during the storm. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" There arose a great storm. Literally, a mega storm. The word is mega in Greek. Matthew, in chapter 8 and verse 24 of his gospel, in writing about this storm, he said, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." And the way that he described it was that there was this mega shaking. The Greek word seismos, it means a great shaking or an earthquake. Almost the entire Sea of Galilee was shaking. The little boat that they are in is like a cork being tossed about in the water. And I think that's a good description of how we are feeling today. We feel so small, and we're just being tossed to and fro. We have no say of what's going on. Seems like there's no control, there's no power that we have, and it causes a great fear. And you remember that at least four of the disciples of Jesus were fishermen. And their panic shows how severe this storm must have been. They were experienced sailors. And at the end of verse 38, they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" We know that panic is contagious. We see that. It's been evident through these last few weeks. And I think that oftentimes panic is worse than the storm. Sometimes the panic be even worse than the virus. And so we need to stay calm. And especially as Christians, we need to show that our faith is in the one that cannot fail us. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is in God who never, ever fails. Yes, there are questions. There are questions that people ask in life. That why question is a big one. God, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Lord, don't you care? Why are you asleep in the boat? Don't you care about what is happening to us? These storms come at night, and they are especially dangerous then. We're out in the darkness, and we feel that we are all alone. The disciples in that boat that night, it was complete darkness. The only time they saw light was when the lightning flashed across the sky. And I think that Jesus was teaching them and teaching us that when the storms come our way, if our faith and our trust is in Jesus, we can be calm and we can have peace. And one of the striking features about this story is that the disciples took this journey at the command of Jesus. In verse 35, he said unto them, the disciples in the boat were not out of the will of God, but they were following the will of God. Jesus tells them to get in the boat, even though he knows what is coming. I want you to know that this storm, this pandemic, did not take God by surprise. It took us by surprise. It never took God by surprise. And I like what Corrie ten Boom said. She said, there is never panic in heaven, only plans. God has a plan through all of this. God has a plan that he is going to be glorified, and he is going to build his church one way or another, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Another interesting thing that it does appear that demonic forces are behind this storm. In verse 39, it says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And when it says peace be still, it literally means hush, be muzzled. And if you go back to Mark chapter 1 and verse 25, where Jesus is casting an unclean spirit out of a man, there is a lot of linguistic parallels between that story and this story. It says, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace. And he came out of him. And the phrase, hold thy peace, means to be muzzled. And so the idea here is that this storm on the Sea of Galilee is being conjured up by demonic forces. The same thing that Jesus says to the demon in chapter 1, he says to the storm here. He says, be muzzled. Now this may have been a demonic attempt to kill the disciples, maybe even to kill Jesus. And so we always ask, and people have been asking me if this pandemic is a judgment of God. And people might disagree with me, but I don't think so. I think it is being conjured up by demons. I think that Satan has come to kill and steal and to destroy. But Jesus has come to give life. And we've been talking about these storms that arise out of Satan as he operates as the prince of the power of the air. But either way, these disciples were in this storm because they obeyed Jesus. And we are in this storm today simply because we are in the world. It's what's happening in the world, and because we're in the world, we're faced with the same things this world is faced with. But Jesus used this situation to teach them, and he wants to teach us some things as well in this storm. And then in verses 39 through 40, we get to the heart of the passage. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So we move to the third part of the message this morning, the calm after the storm. In verse 38, we see the full humanity of Jesus on display. He's in the back of the ship. He's asleep. His head lays on a pillow, and Jesus is sound asleep. He is totally exhausted. This is the only time in the Gospels that we see Jesus asleep. God himself is asleep in a ship. The creator of the world asleep in the midst of a raging storm. Have you ever been so tired that you slept through a storm? That's how tired Jesus was that night. The disciples came to him while he's sleeping. The storm is crashing around them. And their first thought is, how can he sleep through this? Isn't he going to wake up and do something about this? Doesn't he care? And we see at the end of verse 38, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? Carest thou not that we perish? And when the storms come, we are tempted even from the very beginning to question the Lord's care for us. We think somehow Jesus must be indifferent. He must be distant, or he's not interested in what we are going through. Lord, don't you care that my child is sick? Don't you care that I won't have the money that I need? Don't you care that I feel so lonely? I'm isolated because of the storm, and people are feeling isolation. And especially the elderly, they feel this way. There's a dear saint in our from our church, Dorothy Burton, who's in the hospital, and the hospitals won't let anybody in anymore. People feel lonely. Don't you care, Lord? We could go on and on. We all face storms, and we are tempted to say, Lord, you must not care about me. Could I suggest to you this morning that the sleep of Jesus here is not the sleep of indifference, but it is the sleep of sovereignty. Jesus has everything under control. He is asleep because he has power over all creation. He is sovereign in his power. Did you notice that Jesus didn't hear the storm, but he heard the cries of his disciples? The wind, the waves crashing the boat, the lightning and the thunder didn't wake him up, but the desperate cries of his disciples woke him. This shows that, yes, he does care. And it tells us that when we go through the storms of life, what we need to do is we need to cry out to him, and he will hear us. The best thing that we can do during this time is to pray. That is the best thing that we can do, is go to the Lord and ask for his intervention and ask for his help. In verse 39, we see the full deity of Jesus. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. I love this. Jesus, he rises from his sleep and he puts the storm to sleep. The wind immediately stopped. It goes from 50, 60 miles an hour to stop blowing to 0 miles per hour, just like that. There is a mega calm. The water immediately became like a sea of glass. It teaches us again that Jesus is sovereign over the storms of life. A storm with the Lord Jesus is better than the calm without him. And I know that's difficult to lay hold of at times, especially times like this, but it's true. Peace in your life and mine doesn't come from finding calmer waters. Doesn't come from finding calmer waters in life, but it does come from having Jesus in the boat with us. If we know that Jesus is in our life, if he is in our boat, we can be at calm and have peace. And what Jesus did in physically calming the wind and the waves, he can do that emotionally, he can do that spiritually, and he can even do that physically in your life and mine. And this passage ends, though, on a very unexpected note. And we finish with the storm after the calm. You notice verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The disciples failed to trust Jesus. They had his promise that they were going to make it to the other side. And they had his person in the boat with him, with them, but they didn't trust him or his promise. The one thing that Jesus did rebuke his disciples for often was their lack of faith. They'd failed to put their trust in him. If we put this into context, Jesus had been teaching them some parables, kingdom of heaven parables. And he was talking about setting up his messianic kingdom. And he talked about how those of you who have been to church here the last few weeks realize that God's plan cannot be stopped. It is completely unstoppable. He is an unstoppable force, and the Church of Christ is an unstoppable force as well. These disciples were not going to perish in that storm. And so I think what Jesus was doing, he was testing them. When he was preaching about the kingdom, they're probably all excited, saying amen. So be it, Lord. And then when the test comes, they forgot the promise. They forgot the teachings of Jesus. And in verse 41, they became very much afraid. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And the word here is mega again, megaphobia, phobia. Their fear of the storm has been replaced by a much greater fear. And that is the fear in the one who had just calmed that storm. They feared Jesus now more than they feared the storm that they had been in. And a realization gripped the disciples. God is in the boat with us. Nobody can speak to the wind and the waves and have it obey like that. Nobody can do that. Only God. Nobody can make the sea a dead calm. Nobody except God himself. The creator has become more ominous now than the creation. And this progression is fascinating. There was a mega storm, and then a mega calm, and then a mega fear. It's the mega fear or reverence or standing in awe of who Jesus really is. It began to grip them who Jesus was. Jesus is God. And they began to shake when they realized that God was in the boat with them. This really is a story of two storms. One storm is on the surface of the waters. The other storm is in the heart of the disciples. One storm on the outside was replaced by another storm on the inside. They realized whose presence they were before. Again, let me remind you that this story teaches us that Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life. And what's interesting is that the disciples asked this question, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? In the next miracle that Jesus does, that question is answered, and it's answered by a demon. Chapter 5 and verse 7, this demon cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Jesus can be trusted. God is in your boat. And when God is in your boat, you can be assured your boat won't sink. It was April 14th, 1912. The Titanic was making its maiden voyage. It struck an iceberg right before midnight. The ship had been called the unsinkable ship. It sunk down in the dark waters of the Atlantic. It took just about 3 hours for the ship to sink. Of the 2,200 people on board, about 1,500 drowned. When the ship left the harbor in England, the proud people there, and especially in Ireland and Belfast, where the ship was built, were there to watch it sail away. Some of them said, God Almighty himself could not sink this ship. But before it sank, the mayor of Belfast said the city had never known such, or after it sank, the mayor of Belfast said the city had never known such grief. It was a blow to their pride, but certainly their greatest grief was the loss of life. There was one church in Belfast that lost 16 men. They had served in various functions on the ship, but they had gone down with the ship. That church had an evangelist who was coming that Sunday night right after the ship had sunk. The congregation that day included women who had suddenly become widows, children who had just lost their fathers, parents who had lost sons and daughters. How does an evangelist preach a sermon in a situation like that? What are you going to say after what has just happened? The title of the evangelist's sermon that Sunday morning was The Unsinkable Ship. But he wasn't talking about the Titanic. He brought his message from this passage that we talked about this morning. He was talking about that little unsinkable fishing boat that was afloat there in the Sea of Galilee. The ship was unsinkable because the Lord Jesus Christ was on board. You say, well, what about believers who died? Doesn't their boat sink? I would say no, because they reach their final destination on the other side. They'll make it to shore. They will make it to heaven's shore. They didn't sink. They rose to life with Jesus. The question I have for you today is Jesus in your boat? Has there ever been a time when you invited Jesus to come personally into your life, repenting of your sins and putting your faith and your trust in Jesus as the only way and the only means of salvation? What Jesus did when he died on the cross is he took the greatest storm there has ever been. And he took the greatest storm for you and for me. The greatest storm any of us will ever would ever face would be the storm of God's judgment. And Jesus felt that storm. He felt God's judgment on sin on himself when he took your sins and mine to the cross of Calvary and he died there. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus took God's wrath on the cross for us. And Jesus did that so that now we can have our sins forgiven and we can have peace with God and we can have peace through the storms of life. Have you ever received Jesus? Is he in your boat with you? Have you accepted his sacrifice on the cross on your behalf? Listen to your pastor this morning. If Jesus has taken the greatest storm that you could ever possibly face, the judgment of God on your behalf, if he has taken that storm for you, don't you think he'll be with you in the lesser storms of life as well? If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I'd just like to lead you in a prayer this morning. And you pray this wherever you are watching this video today or this streaming. And God will come into your life and Jesus will be in your boat. And the Holy Spirit will move into you so that you become the place of God's habitation. You become a temple for the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you today that you bore that storm of judgment for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for taking my sins with you there and dying for my sin. Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner. I admit that, and I repent of my sin today. And Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you were buried, and that you rose again on the third day. And I believe that you did that for me. And I am putting my faith and I'm putting my trust in you today to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life and be my Savior. I'm inviting you in the boat of my life. Would you come and reside in me? Would you come and be with me? And would you be not only my Savior, but my Lord? For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. Have a great day.